I'm reading today from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And I want to title the message, Comfort for Christians, especially in view of the things that we're dealing with in our country. I'm reading from verse 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. We have these words from the Word of God, and he said in verse 3 and verse 4, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Heavenly Father, we do ask thy blessings upon the reading of Holy Scripture here today. Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts by thy word and by thy Holy Spirit. Again, we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to take this text here this morning and begin and spend a little bit of time here. We find clearly in verse 3 that God, he is referred to as the God of all comfort. Then we find in verse 4 that he comforts us in our tribulation and that we might be able to comfort others in any trouble that they might be going through. What I want to do today is I want to basically have two thoughts, two points, I guess. The first one is that God is the source of all comfort. And number two, we're going to be looking at also that God delights in giving us comfort. Now, through the Scripture and the Spirit, we find that God gives much comfort to His people. And that's where my focus is going to be today. Where can I find comfort in troublous times? I find it in the Scripture. I also receive comfort from the Holy Spirit. We know that every believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And so God has promised to us that He will give us comfort through the Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. Now, we want to pray for our nation. We also want to pray for one another. We know that no one is exempt from sickness and heartaches and trials and tribulation and even death, including Christians. Christians are not exempt from these things either. Now, we've been speaking for the last few weeks on various subjects, and we've also been mentioning the coronavirus that is in our country and also in the world. And we've been addressing some things from the Bible that will be a help and be a blessing to us during these trying times. We know that in the world, as of today, there's over 875,000 cases, and there's over 44,000 deaths. And then in the United States, we find that there's about 195,000 cases, and there's over 4,000 deaths. And so this virus has continued to spread and continue to cause many to become sick, and there is many dying. As a matter of fact, we all will be affected by this one way or the other, either by friends or family. My wife and I already know of someone in another state that we went to church with years ago that has this virus. But again, there's many that are sick in our country and around the world. There's many that are dying. We know that families are losing loved ones. I've read many testimonies, and I've listened to many testimonies, and also people are dying alone. There are many people in hospitals and many people in nursing homes and different facilities that they're dying alone. They're dying without their family with them. The family... not only are they alone, but the family cannot be with them as they go through the process of dying. And our authorities are expecting many thousands to die in our country alone in the near future. And so we need to be praying for our country, praying for one another. And of course, when we come to things like this, and throughout human history, there's been many trials and tribulations and plagues and different things, but this is the time to turn to the Lord. If a person is lost, this is a time for them to be thinking about their eternal destiny. We who are Christians, we need to draw closer unto the Lord. Now, notice in our text, and before we get into our outline, I just want to give a brief introduction here. And we find that as the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the church at Corinth, and of course, this applies to you and I today, we find, coming back to verse 3, he says here in verse 3, he said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." We find here in our text that our Lord and our Savior, our Father in heaven, he is referred to as the God of all comfort. And that's the reason I wanted to title this, Comfort for Christians. We can find comfort in our Heavenly Father. But you notice also that as we read in verse 4, we find here that he says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulations." Now I want you to think about this. Now in verses 3 through verse 11, we find here that the apostle, by the way, went through much tribulation, as well as other apostles that Paul would refer to. But we find here that God's comfort in tribulation, as we read this text, God's comfort in tribulation creates an unshakable faith. And that's what we see as if we were to read verses 3 through verse 11. Now in verse 4, he says here in this passage, he said, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation." We find that the word comfort here does not necessarily mean comfortable, but it means to come alongside in our tribulation. In other words, to help us to endure in the afflictions that we might be going through. It does not necessarily mean to remove affliction, but to give us help and aid in those afflictions. We see this in the apostle's life, and I'll read these verses in just a moment. But in verse 4 again, and keep in mind, these are promises from the Word of God. These are promises that were written down by the apostles, given by the Lord Jesus Christ about 2,000 years ago, and these promises still apply today. He said in verse 4, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." And then he says, "By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So we find in verse 3 that our Lord is the God of all comfort. And we also find in verse 4 that he comforts us, notice, in, not necessarily removing all the tribulations and trials and the afflictions, but he comforts us in all our tribulation. Not some of them, but all of our tribulation. And then we find that as we read the latter part of verse 4, that we are comforted by God so that we can be a comfort to others. We need to be bringing hope and assurance and comfort to those that we minister to, those that we have the opportunity to witness to or to speak to. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, in just looking here for a few moments as in our introduction, we see here that the Apostle Paul is saying these things in the midst of tribulations, trials, and affliction. Paul is praising God in the midst of his tribulation and trials. And we find here, beginning in verse 5, I want you to notice the context now. And as I read from verse 5 to about verse 10 or 11, I want you to notice that the sufferings of the apostles, of course, Paul includes others as well, but the sufferings of the apostles are listed here, and yet they were comforted in all their tribulation. Paul is not just telling us something that he had not experienced. The Apostle Paul experienced much tribulation. As a matter of fact, as you read through, and we'll just take this one book, as you read through 2 Corinthians along, Now, again, we will find his trials and tribulations and afflictions. We find them in the book of Acts. We find them in Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and many other places. But just in 2 Corinthians alone, I'll give you the chapters and some of the verses whereby that the apostle experienced many afflictions. As a matter of fact, in chapter 4, verses 8 through the end of the chapter, he speaks of his trouble and his distress, and he speaks of the persecution that he encountered. He speaks of bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he speaks of all the things that he had went through. Again, in chapter 6, beginning in verse 3 through about verse 9 or 10, he's talking about the things that he went through and other ministers went through. He speaks of afflictions and necessities and distresses. He speaks of stripes and imprisonments and labors, and he continues to talk about how that God brought them through that. Again, we would see in chapter 4, beginning, or chapter 7 rather, beginning in verses 4 and going through verse 6, we find here again he speaks of their tribulation and their troubles and their oppositions. He speaks of this again in chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. Verse 23 through the end of the chapter, the Apostle Paul here speaks of the stripes and imprisonments and all of the things that he went through. He speaks of being whipped five different times, which would be a total of about 195 stripes that he had taken. He speaks of being stoned, shipwreck. He speaks of all the persecutions and the infirmities. And then he says in verse 30 that he would glory in his infirmities. And then when we get into chapter 12, he continues to speak of his infirmities and the things that come upon him. And he said in chapter 12 and verse 10, he said, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong?" And then the Apostle Paul, as he closes this letter, beginning in chapter 13, he also speaks of this. So, when the Apostle Paul writes this letter, as we come back to chapter 1, when he writes this letter, he's not writing this letter not understanding the subject of sufferings and comfort. He's writing this letter as the Word of God, but he's also writing this letter from experience. And so the apostle is saying very clearly that in our sufferings, in our afflictions, in our tribulations, in our oppositions, that we will receive comfort. And again, the word comfort does not mean comfortable, but it means that God will come alongside in our troubles, so we can endure afflictions, not always removing them per se, but he will give us help in them. So God comforts us in tribulation, and by this comfort in the tribulation, it is to create an unshakable faith in each and every one of us. Now notice as I read from verse 5. In verse 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Again, notice the sufferings and the consolations or the comfort. Verse 6, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, for it is for your consolation and salvation." The Apostle Paul is saying everything we're going through, all the afflictions, all the sufferings, is for Christ's sake and for the benefit of the Corinthians here in this case. He also says in verse 7, he says, "For our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation." As in 1 Peter 2:21 and many other places, the Apostle Paul is saying to the Corinthians, to the believers, to the church at Corinth. He's saying unto them that you need to be partakers of the sufferings of Christ. And in these sufferings, you will also receive consolation. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying you'll be comforted, your faith will be strengthened, as you see that God is real and that God can give comfort during these trying times. Notice in verse 8, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, inasmuch that we despaired even of life." Now, the Apostle Paul is not denying the tribulation and the problems and the sufferings, but he's saying that in the midst of them, that God can give peace, God can give hope, and that God can give comfort. Then we find in verse 9, he says, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. So we see here that we're not to trust in ourselves. We'll become very fearful, and if we do that, but he says that we're trusting in God, not in ourselves, for he is the one that raises the dead. Verse 11, who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. In this verse, the apostle is saying that God had saw them through many trials and many tribulations. In verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So clearly, we see in our text here today is that we are to pray, as he had mentioned in verse 11 with the church at Corinth, and we are to trust God, and we are to look for God's comfort as we go through trials, tribulations, and opposition and affliction. Now let's get into our outline, and this will be a brief outline, but beginning, notice back in verse 3 and 4, I'm going to read these two verses again. I want you to notice that God is the source of all comfort. God is the source of all comfort. And God comforts us by the Scripture and by the Holy Spirit. So he says here in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Verse 4 again, "who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So in this passage clearly declares unto us that God is the source of all comfort. He's called the God of all comfort. He will comfort us in our tribulation, and as we're comforted in that tribulation, the things that we go through, then we will be able to comfort others, whether they be lost or saved. We will be able to give comfort to those and give hope and give peace to those that are around us. We do not have to live in a state of fear. Now let's talk about this here, and we find here that God alone can comfort us in our trouble. In other words, we find that God is the source of all comfort. Again, we would see this in chapter 7. I'm not going to turn there, but the Apostle Paul again confirms that in tribulation that God had given them much comfort. Well, I want to turn to Romans chapter 15. We can turn loose of our text now. And notice in Romans chapter 15, and I'm going to take one verse from this chapter. Now, let's first of all talk about the fact that God comforts us, first of all, through the Scripture. Our comfort comes from His Word. We know that words can bring much comfort. We find that in Romans chapter 15. Now there's many places in the Holy Scripture whereby we see this principle. And I'm going to give you just a few. I'm going to refer to some, and we'll actually turn to some. But notice in verse 4, He said, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now, in this passage, he's referring at this time mainly to the Old Testament Scripture. Now, it includes all Scripture, but much of the New Testament was not written at this time. And notice he said in verse 4, for whatsoever things are written aforetime. He's talking about the Word of God. He says that they're written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. So God comforts us through His Word. We'll notice as we turn to the book of Psalms. I'm turning to Psalms 119. Now, there's many other places that we could look at here today. For instance, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 40 and the surrounding verses, we find that the saints were comforted there at that time by the words of God that was spoken by the apostles. Again, throughout the New Testament, in Colossians chapter 2, and in verse 2, we find, again, the Word of God brought great comfort to the church at Corinth. He mentions this again in chapter 4 and in verse 8. Now, when you read through the book of Thessalonians, and these are just passages I'm giving to you, we're going to read in Psalms in just a moment, but when you read through the book of Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, we find this word comfort showing up a number of times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 11, again, the Apostle Paul here speaks of comfort. Again, in chapter 3 and in verse 2, speaking of the gospel and speaking of the comfort that came to the believers there at Thessalonica. In chapter 4 and verse 18, as the Apostle Paul speaks of the resurrection of the dead, and that all saints will be raised and all saints will enter into the kingdom of God, speaks of Christ's coming. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words in verse 18. And then again in chapter 5, speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ, he says in verse 11, he said, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. We would find this truth again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 17. Now, I'm reading from the book of Psalms 119. This is the longest psalm, and this entire psalm is speaking of the importance of God's Word. Nearly every verse in this psalm speaks of the importance of God's Word. We have 176 verses, and the great emphasis is upon the Word of God. But I'm reading in this passage in Psalms 119, and I'm reading from verse 50, from verse 50 to verse 52. Notice as we come to this passage, and notice the writer is David. And David took great comfort in what God had said. When we talk about the Word of God, we're talking about what God has said to us, what He has promised to us. And you notice in verse 50, he said this. He said, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Verse 52. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. We see again in verse 76. In verse 76 of this passage, he says here, he said, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. So we see very clearly as David writes this psalm, the emphasis is upon the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. But David is saying, Lord, I find my comfort. I find consolation in the Word that you have spoken unto me. But again, you could write down 1 Corinthians 14 and in verse 3 and in verse 31. Again, we find that we have comfort, or we can comfort one another by speaking to one another the word of God. Now, I'm turning to the book of John in the New Testament. Now, what we find today is that people look for comfort in many things instead of the Word of God. People are looking for comfort. I mean, whether lost or saved, we look for comfort. We look for comfort when we're going through trials and tribulations. And people sometimes just turn to the things of this world. They turn to their finances. Some turn to booze. Some are looking at their circumstances and don't know what to do. But we find that, again, God will comfort us. He is the source of all comfort, and He will give us comfort through His Word, through the Scripture, and through the Holy Spirit. Well, notice with me in John, I'm reading in chapter 14, the first four verses. Now, we find here in this passage, this is the upper room. We refer to it as the upper room discourse, John 13 through 17, the night before the crucifixion, the Lord's last words to His disciples before the crucifixion. And what we have in John 14, we have a multitude of promises. He promises them resurrection. He promises them a home in heaven. He promises them eternal life. He promises them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that would come. He promises them throughout this chapter, for instance, as in verse 27, He promises them peace. He said, I will leave with you peace. Now think about this. Christ is going to the cross. He would be arrested this night and carried before the magistrates and put on trial. The following day He would be crucified, and they had trusted Him as the Messiah. Now, they didn't understand the details of the cross. They didn't understand that Christ would die on the cross. I mean, He had told them, but they didn't understand everything about that. So they've been following Him for three and a half years, and now He begins talking to them about dying. So we find as we come to chapter 14 in verse 1, I'm going to read the first four verses. He says here in this passage, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. And so the Lord is giving them comfort and peace in their hearts. He says in verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Now, why did He say this? Well, as we read the latter part of chapter 13, beginning along about verse 31 through the end of the chapter, He's speaking of going away. He's speaking of His death. He's speaking of the fact that He would be leaving them. And then He says in chapter 14 in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In other words, as they had trusted God, as they had trusted the Father, as they had believed all of the prophets, Moses and the prophets, and had put their faith in the Word, He said, also believe My words here this night. Put your faith in My words. He's giving them promises. He said in verse 6 that He is the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, through Him they would have eternal life. Through Him the Comforter would come in verse 16, 17, and 18. And through Him in verse 27 that they would have peace. In other words, He's saying unto them to trust in His words, in the Scripture, in the words that He gives to them. And of course, they did trust in these words. and they wrote the words down for you and I. Now, Jesus' words to his disciples here this night again speaks of his death and then begins to speak unto them of the comfort that they would receive from the Holy Spirit. And now I want to step into the second part of our point number one. God is the source of all comfort, first of all, through the Scripture, and then secondly, through the Holy Spirit. Now think about both of these concepts here, that God comforts us through the Scripture. What would we do without the Word of God? We would know nothing. We would have no hope. We would know nothing about death and resurrection. We would know nothing about life or eternal things. And so he gives us the Word. But also, I want you to notice, he promises them the Spirit. In other words, in verse 1 through 4, he's saying, believe my words. He had taught them for three and a half years. And now he's saying unto them, believe my words. Believe what I'm saying to you. And then I want you to notice, as we come down to verse 16, 17, and 18, and then we'll read verse 26. Notice as he's saying to them, trust my words. He gives them the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is called the Comforter. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Verse 26. He says in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. When we read these passages, especially in verse 16, that he shall give you another Comforter. I want you to think about this. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of every believer. And we find here that the Holy Spirit is referred to as another Comforter. And we find here that as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, Jesus had been a great comfort to his disciples. You can imagine traveling with him and being taught by him. They ate together, they walked together, they slept in the same places, they traveled together. You can imagine the comfort of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he gave unto his disciples. And so he's saying to them, as I have been a comfort to you and given you comforting words, he's saying there will be another comforter. In other words, one just like myself. And so the Spirit of God, we know that came in power and majesty on the day of Pentecost. And every believer today has the Spirit of God. And the Lord is saying to his disciples, he's saying, as I have been a comfort to you, the Holy Spirit will also be a comfort to you. The Lord had given them his word and his promises. He's saying the Spirit will also teach you. It will dwell within. And he's saying that the Holy Spirit will be a comforter. Think about this. The Holy Spirit is, we refer to it as the third person of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father and the Son. When we read about the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, we find the Spirit of God is there. So our concept of the Holy Spirit will determine our attitude toward him. If we see the Holy Spirit as a person, then we'll see the comfort and the principle that the Lord has laid down here in this passage. If the Holy Spirit is a person, then we'll see the Holy Spirit as we look at the Son and as we look at the Father. But if we only see the Holy Spirit as an influence, well, that's going to influence our concept and our understanding of it. And so when we come to this passage, we have in verse 16, 17, and 18, and in verse 26, in the upper room, the Lord is giving them a promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And again, when he says another comforter, in other words, as Christ was a great comfort to the disciples, we find here that the Holy Spirit would be the same way. So even though they're sad that Christ is speaking about dying and being buried and being raised again and then ascending back into heaven, and that he would not be with them anymore as far as this earth is concerned, they're saddened over this, but he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he lays down several promises in this chapter. And so as Christ was a great comfort to the disciples, then the Holy Spirit would be the same. And that's why we must see the Holy Spirit as a person, as a member or a part of the Godhead and not just some influence. The Holy Spirit is as real to us today as Jesus was to the disciples here in the upper room. And notice he's referred to as the Comforter. I want us to turn to chapter 15. Notice with me in chapter 15. So he is a comforter. And the Greek word that is translated comforter here, this Greek word appears five times in the New Testament, and it is translated four times here in the book of John as comforter, but is translated one time as advocate in 1 John 2 and verse 1, meaning one who comes alongside to help or to aid. This is why we not only need the Holy Spirit for salvation, because in John 3, Jesus said, except a man be born again, that is to be born of the Spirit, they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We not only need the Holy Spirit for salvation, but we need the Holy Spirit for enlightenment and for comfort as we walk through this life, our life's journey. We need the Holy Spirit. So again, an advocate is one who comes alongside to help or to aid someone. And again, you could take into account an attorney or a lawyer. We'll just stick with the Bible word advocate. Again, that's a wonderful word, and it's a wonderful study to just look at what God is to us and what the Holy Spirit is to us as well. Notice in John chapter 15, we not only have this truth once in the upper room, but we actually have it three times. In John chapter 15, reading in verse 26 and 27, he said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Notice in chapter 16, I'm reading in chapter 16, and I want to read from verse 5, in verse 5. He says here in chapter 16, 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goeth thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. He continues to talk about the Comforter's ministry here. And he refers to it again in verse 13, the Comforter as the Spirit of truth. But now notice with me, as we come down to verse 33, and he says this, he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now in this world, whether it be today or where it be in the future, there will be certain trials and tribulations and afflictions. It's just a part of the fallen world that we live in. There is sickness and there's plagues and there's natural disasters, which are really acts of God. There's wars. There's many things that plague humanity. But God is saying in this passage, I'll give you another comforter. And if we will really consider this, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, the Holy Spirit is as much of a comfort to you and I today as Jesus was to his disciples in the first century. We must look at it this way so that we will have comfort and that we are not living in fear. Again, verse 33, in this world ye shall have tribulation. That's a promise. It always has been. It always will be until the coming of Jesus Christ. There will be trials. There will be afflictions. There will be sickness. There will be things that society has to deal with. But he said this. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now let us turn to the book of Psalms chapter 23. Notice with me in Psalms chapter 23. Let's come to our second and last point this morning. First of all, God is the source of our comfort. Again, he comforts us through his scripture and through his spirit. Secondly, this morning, I want you to notice that God delights in giving us comfort. God is our shepherd. We are his sheep. Notice in Psalms 23, we preached on this text not too many weeks back, but I believe it's back in February, and we've also written an article now on this passage. And notice, as we come here, I want to read the entire psalm, but I want to focus in on verse 4. He says here, beginning in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to think about how that God delights in his people. He delights in you and I who follow him, who are his sheep. This chapter here is a picture of a faithful shepherd, and it is also a tribute to God's love and mercy to his people. He is our shepherd. We're told that again in Psalms 100 and Psalms 95 and many other places. But we find here that God desires to comfort his people. And I'm going to come back to verse 4 to emphasize that. You see, even in death, God can bring comfort to his people. We find that in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We find that in 1 Peter 5, 7, he says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. We find, again, Christians are not exempt from death. We're not exempt from all sicknesses. But we find that whether in life or in death, God has promised to comfort us. He's promised to comfort us in this life as we go through trials and tribulations and afflictions. But he's also promised to even comfort us when it comes time to die. Daniel 3, verses 17 and 18, the three Hebrew children that were thrown in the fiery furnace, they refused to bow down before the idols of that day. And they said that God is able to deliver us, but they also said, but if he doesn't deliver us, in other words, if they die in the fiery furnace, they said, we are going to stand for the Lord. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18, he said, God will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Paul is facing death. He's not talking about in the passage to be saved from physical death. He's in prison and he's facing death. I believe that was his last letter that he wrote. And he said that his time, his departure was at hand. But God says in that passage to Paul, or Paul is saying in reference to God, that God will preserve him unto his heavenly kingdom. The Apostle Paul knew that he was in the hands of God, whether in life or in death. And the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, verse 21 and 22, he was torn between being upon this earth and also being in heaven. He says that he was torn in between. In other words, he was ready to go to heaven. He was ready to be of the Lord, but he says it is more needful that I stay. He's writing to the Philippian church, and so he was ready either way, to live or either to die. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5, verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That is, those who repent, those who turn to the Lord. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, let me read in verse 4 in Psalms 23, then we're going to turn to the New Testament and Matthew 11 and close. But notice in verse 4, now this entire psalm is a wonderful psalm of comfort. Again, we see that this shepherd's psalm, this is a picture of a faithful shepherd, and it is a tribute to God's love and mercy to his people. But he says in verse 4, he says, yea, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David, as he writes his psalm, David found great comfort in the Lord. David had been through many trials and many tribulations. David had many enemies. But we find in life, God will comfort us. We find that in death, God will comfort us. We find here in this passage that we live to some extent in the valley of the shadow of death throughout this life. From birth unto death, we live in the valley of the shadow of death. But God has promised in life or in death that he would be with us. I'm closing in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, we read in verse 28 through verse 30. Notice as we come to this passage, he says here in verse 28, beginning here, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In this passage, we see clearly that he's speaking to his disciples. But this is also can be used to show the lost that they need salvation, they need rest for their souls. The Lord is encouraging his disciples in our text to follow him, to be faithful. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In verse 29, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. The disciples, the Christians, the followers of Jesus Christ, that they can have rest for their souls. We who are Christians, as we walk through this life, we can find rest in Jesus Christ, even in troublous times. But for those that are lost, we find, as in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, he'll give us rest for our soul, as he says in verse 29. He says in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Anyone that's lost during this time, let them turn to the Lord. Let them put their faith and trust in the Lord, in Jesus Christ, that shed his blood and died for our sins at Calvary's cross. This is the gospel, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. We're told in Romans 5 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We find very clearly in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So I want to close with this. To those that are saved, let us keep our trust in the Lord. God is the source of all comfort. That comfort will come from the Scripture, and that comfort will come from the Spirit, both of these that God has given to us. We have them in our possession. And to the lost, let me say to you, there is no hope, there is no comfort, there is no security, there is no salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg of you today to turn to Jesus Christ and trust him as Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before thee again. We thank you for thy mercy and thy kindness and thy grace. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort that you have promised to us. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to receive that comfort. Lord, we realize that even Christians can ignore this comfort and walk in fear. But Lord, I pray that we will receive this comfort as believers. And Lord, that we will walk in it. And I pray, Lord, that the lost, that they would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would receive comfort, security, and hope for their never dying soul. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.